This episode is sponsored by the new documentary, Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, streaming exclusively on Disney+. There have been many variations of the Wagatha saga, and now it's time to uncover her truth. In this three-part original series, Colleen will tell her story in her own words for the first time. Tune in to learn how Colleen figured out who was leaking her stories to the press, get an exclusive look at the trial, and discover unseen and unheard moments. If you'd like to dive even deeper, listen to our podcast, British Scandal, for an exclusive episode about the Wagatha saga on the 27th of October. Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, an original series now streaming exclusively on Disney+.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm excited. It's the end of our work week. We're here on Southern Charm Day. I'm just feeling the rush of the week being over. You know, this time a week ago, I was just sitting drugged up in a hospital bed. So I'm feeling especially appreciative to now be sitting caffeinated up talking about Southern Charm in a chair instead.
You're alive,
Ben. I'm a hero.
You're alive.
That's what this show is really all about me. And I have to say, I'm really ready to talk about Southern Charm because I feel like, you know, you're always very much about signs, Ronnie. And I felt like I had two signs this morning that said it was time to talk about Southern Charm. First was this morning when I was having breakfast, my father started to sing Send in the Clowns. And then
that's a sign.
He took
that is a good sign. Did your mom come in and sit on your lap like JT's mom?
She quite literally did not do that. That's Austin's new catchphrase. Quite literally. And then my dad took me to Dunkin' Donuts to get me some cold brew because I don't think I'm not allowed to drive yet. And when we're driving in the car, Send in the Clowns came on the radio.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
What's going on in your town that's just around? No wonder it was on.
It's just around.
Like, Send in the Clowns has just come back.
Send in the Clowns is so hot right now. And the
guys, Send in the Clowns is bumping in Katona.
And there's a third sign, but I've not figured out what it is. But I feel like two Send in the Clowns in the span of 45 minutes, that means it's time to talk Southern Charm, because this is the show. This is the preeminent show of clowns, even more so than Winterhouse. So anyway, real quick, please join us on Monday for Crappy Hour. That's going to be at 8:30 on the East Coast, 5:30 on the West Coast. That's on Instagram. It's our Instagram live show. We just talk Bravo. We talk about like what's going on in the news. We talk about what we're like excited about. We're at Watch for Crappins, but also follow Ronnie at Ronnie Karam and follow me at Ben Mandelker. It's a really, really fun show. So come join us. Captain Lee was on our last one, which was really cool that he was there for it. Also Patreon. We're on Patreon. You may not have heard this before. I don't know. This may be news, but we're on Patreon. We have video. This is being recorded on video too. So if you want to get first access to the video, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappins and follow the instructions there. So anyway, it is time to send in the clowns. I was like half
send in the clowns.
I hate that song.
Do you?
Send in the clowns. Who likes clowns?
No.
And then it's, well, the song is about like two people who are older and they could have been together, but now he's with some young woman and she was with somebody before. They just keep missing each other. And now she's like, we've missed our chance. Send in the clowns. No, don't send in the clowns. Are you kidding? Like, you're telling me I'm like, we're never going to fuck after all of these years. And now you want me to watch clowns? Like, is there anything that kills the mood more than a clown?
Yeah.
Fucking hate that song.
Send in the clowns.
Oh. Well, I had the distinct pleasure of going to a Sondheim concert over the summer, and Miss Patti LuPone sang that song, and it was exhilarating.
Send in.
Isn't it?
Isn't it? Show me a pound.
Gersh. Send in the little Craig. Gersh. So there were a few things I was really upset that I didn't get to podcast with you about last week. First was I was so excited for you that you had you didn't need it, but that you got confirmation on the show of the vet saying that Frenchies make that noise, because the week before you were like, this is what Frenchies sound like. And then last week the vet was like, no, they sound like this. Basically the noise
when the show when the vet did that, I died laughing. And then they showed it again this week. That was my favorite part of the whole week last week, when Shep goes, what's little Craig breathing like this? No, she's breathing like this.
I was like, I felt like you felt so seen in that moment. And then I was also laughing at JT's mom. I just love JT's mom. She's like, what is this dirtbag place you've made? What are you doing with these chairs here? Well, I forgot her name, Bunny. Yeah, Bunny and Poppy Seeds. I loved JT's mom. I just loved how she just was absolutely disgusted with the work that he had done. But also, I was cracking up because last week I realized that Austin is obsessed with saying the phrase quite literally. There was one scene where he said it like three times in one sentence. He's like, I am quite literally in a place where I'm quite literally very upset at this situation. I forget what he said, but he said it so many times in a row. And then he said it in his confessional. This is Austin's new, you're insane right now. You are quite literally insane right now.
Well, it's funny because Austin and Craig both try to keep up with Shep, because Shep is now the elder statesman on the show. And so, you know, Shep uses big words all the time. That's part of his thing. He's like, wow, I get mailbox money. Plus, I have a golden vocabulary. It's priceless. And so Craig and Austin are both trying to sound like they also have a great vocabulary, but neither one of them does. And it's really, 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 really
that funny.
It's like bimbo talking,
that,
you know?
That is actually one of my favorite running unspoken themes of this show, is that like Shep is old money and he has old money education. I think he went to Vanderbilt. He went to good school. He is very educated. Well, he even says overeducated and underemployed, I think, in the first season. And he seems like someone who does read books. He clearly watches Ken Burns documentaries, and he's a smart person, I think, or I should say intellectual, or maybe I should say educated. But then you see Craig. Craig's always at the party. He's always trying to come up with some sort of like witticism, like he's Oscar Wilde. And it's just so, and Austin too. And it's so funny watching them do it season after season. Like, wow, isn't this an intriguing turn of fate that we're here at a place with a cocktail? Am I right? And you're like, what? What are you talking? What are you trying to say? You're not in the vicious circle, Dorothy Parker.
Oh, so it's also, what else was I going to say? Oh, this show is also problematic on so many levels. I mean, today we've got the revenge porn episode where everybody's just freely passing around somebody's news,
which
I don't think is legal. Also, it's the boss of the show passing around the nudes, which is even worse.
Yes.
Again, I call for HR, okay? Please, like, is there no human resources in this town? And then we have the revelation that JT is popular amongst the group because during COVID, he was like, fuck COVID. And he was just inviting everybody to his small enclosed space that Bunny probably bought him in downtown Charleston.
Oh my God. I was like, you know, everyone knows I was Mr. Paranoid during quarantine the most. I was so angry when people did not wear masks. I was angry when people even touched their mask. I was like, you're going to ruin your mask and then it's going to be worse for all of us. But I was cracking up at that. I was like, of course he had a COVID speakeasy. Of course, this freaking show. So anyway, let's get on with it.
Previously on Southern Charm, a bunch of betas gossiped about people and some bitch took a nude photo and sent it to the boss.
Everyone here's a whore. From Maine, Madison. Martha Stewart. New Martha Stewart, Madison.
People here aren't born for corn. They just stick it up their ass. You know what I'm saying? A bunch of queers and betas.
So we get, and you know, there are some parts that I didn't talk about. I only did half a recap while you were gone. A, because you weren't here and I was exhausted. B, because it was the most depressing episode ever, because Connor Flowers, Olivia's brother, passed. And yes, it was just sad. I didn't want to make fun of that. But there were other things that happened in that episode that I just stopped. It's like right when it got to the sad part, I was like, I'm out. Bye. Yeah. It's like, I'm fine at a funeral until they open the casket. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I no longer have anywhere to put my drink. I'm fucking out of here.
No longer to put your drink. I mean, you do. You do. You just might not ever see your drink again.
Right. But I'm not Alex from Below Deck. You know, you can't just put it on somebody's head like he does. So I'm just out of there. But there was really funny stuff that happened. Like Craig, the scene with Craig in his house trying to be like, look at me. I'm Craig. I have a lifestyle brand. I'm going to wear my Sewing Down South apron, which he totally was wearing a branded apron, trying to pretend that he cooks, which was hilarious. And he obviously doesn't know what he's doing. He couldn't open a bottle of wine.
Yes.
And then it just shows Rod like, oh my God, you have a gay sitting right here. Like,
well, the thing that cracks me up with Craig is he's got this brand new, clean, nice house. This is like Craig 4.0. But that front door is already messed up. It's already got like chips in it. It's already like the door is fucked up. It's, and I'm like, you've had your shiny new house for -3 months and you already have fucked up the front door. Things like, I'm just waiting for the hole in the wall to open up.
It's very crazy. And he couldn't open a can of tomatoes either. Like, Craig, you can't cook. Please stop trying to sell your stupid aprons, okay? Now listen, pillows, I buy pillows because you're Craig. You're definitely a nappy kind of a person. Like, you love a nap. But an apron, no.
Well, isn't this an ironic situation we find ourselves in, wherein the thing that brings us the most joy is the thing we cannot achieve and stuff? I want to also
send in the clouds.
Send in the pillows. I was watching last week. First of all, I was like, of course, everything with when they show that scene. So when they show the scene last week, Vanita and Leva at the restaurant finding out about Olivia's brother. It was one of those like reality show moments when, you know, like when something real happens and the cameras catch it. And so I was like having chills, but like sometimes in those scenes, you sort of want to like be in those scenes. So I was watching and I was like, oh my God, they're about to find out. Oh my God, I've got chills. Oh my God. Oh my God. Then like, Ben, do you want salad with dinner, Ben? I was like, my mom just barges in right in the middle of this emotional scene while I was like trying to cry. I was like, Mom. And then I went back to, I like gave myself a running start. I was like, okay, Ben, get into it. And then I was like, no. But I was like about to cry, and then like I didn't. But I'll tell you one thing, I almost choked up at this episode in a scene later on, but we'll get to that. So anyway.
We're so opposite. I'm like, okay, let's not talk about it. You're like, here's where I almost cried. Okay, there's another part I almost cried that I want to talk about, but we're going to get to that later. Okay, guys. Hold on. We're about to get to the part I almost cried.
I quite literally almost cried. Quite literally.
So we open this with, first of all, the music people are other people who really hate sadness because they don't know how to deal with it. Okay, so here's the show opening. Pictures of Connor Flowers and Olivia being sad on a dock, and it just, the music stops, and it's just like, it's sadness, like, and then it goes and then just goes away from, it's like
it was like sort of mid-tempo, but it wasn't like super dramatic. I wrote down, love this theme song remix. It was like ba ba do ba do boo ba do boo ba ba do ba ba bum 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 bum
bum bum bum bum bum. Trixie Glenn Miller Orchestra Cole needs to really like read the room. You know what I mean? Like read the room. Yeah. It's a poor girl who just lost her brother. I don't think she needs to like be thought of like somebody throwing her over their head and then under their legs and then swirling. Jeez, have some sensitivity, music people.
So then we go, we see Madison doing Hudson's hair, and then we see Whitney calling Austin, saying, well, I know it's been kind of a trying week, but I was just thinking of having some friends over, and we can all just look at Taylor's nude pictures together. What do you think?
It's a little reprieve over here, mother.
A little reprieve. And Austin's like, yeah, man, it might be nice to quite literally have a couple of drinks, some quite literal laughs.
So then Shep is with little Craig, and he is parked at the dog beach, and the only parking space I get, or the parking space right next to him, is just a huge puddle, which of course Taylor pulls right into.
Good for her.
My gosh, she's just like so into messiness. Like, you dated Shep for 3 years and you're just, of course you're fine just pulling into like a huge, you know, vat of mud, you know, that's going to do, just going to do you no good. And you know it.
Yeah. And by the way, this is the scene where we really could see why Shep and Taylor were never going to work out, because she pulls up in a Ford. You know, the other day we talked about how like there was a Hyundai on Winter House, which is like, come on, this is Bravo. And now here comes Taylor in a Ford. And, you know, that's just not going to work with Shep's lifestyle. I'm sorry. So she pulls up. And, of course, Shep and Craig are standing right on the precipice of the puddle, thinking in classic mailbox money privilege, thinking, well, nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. So, of course, she pulls in. And so the puddle swells. And he loses his mind. He's like, Craig, what the heck? She splashed us. What? I can't believe that, Craig.
Says the person going to the dog beach when it's raining. I don't feel for you. So the two little Frenchies meet, and Taylor's like, that was supposed to be your little sister, Craig. And Shep's like, whoa, children of divorce, am I right? Gosh.
And then Taylor, they're like walking to the beach, and Taylor's like, Craig, you're a chunkamunca these days. And Shep's like, nuh-uh, he's lost weight, according to some. Where do you stand on this? But when people fat shame dogs, I feel like we've talked about this. Is it okay to fat shame a dog, or is it not okay?
Well, they're not shaming the dog. They're shaming you. That's the thing that's annoying, because it's, you're in charge of the dog, right? The dog can't just go get a Snickers. You have to give him the Snickers. Mm. And so I feel like a lot of times when people call my dog fat, they're shaming me. Like I did something to my dog besides feed him Snickers. And I'm like, fuck you. You know, my dog eats the same amount of Snickers that everybody else's dog does. Mm-hmm. Don't judge me. I feel like they're like, you're fat and so is your dog. Like, that's how I've always felt about it. And I don't really like it. Now, that said, I did see a post today on Reddit of this little wiener dog. I don't know what they're called, but not a Dachshund, but one of the red ones. It's like a red wiener dog.
Is it like the, was Milo from Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, my least favorite dog ever on Bravo?
Yes, it was like that. Milo or Milo. Whatever, yeah, with the big floppy ears that hang down, whatever that dog is. So I love that dog. So this one was so fat that it went down one step and then it just tipped over and rolled down the steps, and then the mom, I assume it was the mom, had to come like tilt the dog back up so it could walk again. And you know, in situations like that, I'm like, well, maybe I could shame that dog, because, or that owner, because that poor dog can't even walk, poor dog.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I did get mad because Taylor said it, and she's wearing these yoga pants, and she has a perfect little body. And I'm like, you don't understand the struggle, Taylor. Just shut up with your puddle parking.
Puddle parking. She's a puddle parker. So Shep is saying, some would say it's unfair what I want, Garsh, a nice relationship, a relationship, remember, with Taylor. No, not romantic, but I'm inexperienced in this territory. It's uncharted waters, sort of like the puddle that Taylor splashed on my boots.
You know what? We're going to take Craig to get his nasal passages fixed because he's breathing like this.
No, he's not, Shep. He's breathing like this.
Is it possible that little Craig just voluntarily closed his nasal passages? He was like, you know what? I've been living in this house for a while. I think I've finally figured out a solution to improve my quality of life. Let's just close down the nasal passages.
Shep's just not showering enough. So another thing I noticed in this is going to be a 20-hour recap. Yep. just because we can. Another thing I noticed, even the dog has a stupid sweater. Taylor's dog. So Taylor's sweater is, you know, the only one we've really made fun of that was terrible was the runny eggs sweater, or the scrambled egg sweater. Mm. But she's really got a thing with bad sweaters. Yes. And I think she went through a knitting phase where maybe she was like depressed and learned how to knit, which been there, you know. But her sweaters are just not done right. They don't look that cute. And of course, in this scene, she's not wearing one. But last week, she was wearing like a big chunky one with big blue arms that kind of ballooned out.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Oh, I noticed.
And they just happened to show a clip of Taylor, real quick Taylor scenes, whatever. It was like, Taylor's a slut or whatever. Like Madison saying, Taylor's a slut or whatever. And then it would cut to Madison lying, and then Madison lying in another scene, and then Madison crying in another scene. And every one of them, she was in a terrible sweater. And I was like, wow, that's really a character thing. Like just someone who takes out their depression on, you know, the craft of knitting and just does it horribly.
Isn't it, Rich? Are we a pair? Send in the turtleneck sweaters.
a turtleneck too. Yeah, it's very specific.
It's knitting. It's big knitting.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Watch What Crappens and Winter is Crappening are the funniest recap podcasts. But if you want something more eerie, try the new podcast Ghost Story, about my investigation into a murder-suicide in my own family. Ghosts aren't real. At least, that's what I've always believed. Sure, odd things happened in my childhood bedroom. But ultimately, I shrugged it all off. That is, until a couple of years ago, when I discovered that every subsequent occupant of that house is convinced they've experienced something inexplicable too, including the most recent inhabitant who says she was visited at night by the ghost of a faceless woman. It just so happens that the alleged ghost haunting my childhood room might just be my wife's great-grandmother, who was murdered in the house next door by two gunshots to the face. Ghost Story, a podcast about family secrets, overwhelming coincidence, and the things that come back to haunt us. Follow Ghost Story on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Shep's like, gosh, I went to Olivia's last night and everyone was in pretty good spirits. And there's like, you know, there's like ebbs and flows and stuff like the puddle. And, you know, they have to figure out how to yes, I did just equate Olivia's wake to a puddle, but they have to figure out how to normalize.
Yeah, you need to figure out how to fix your relationship with Olivia. Really? You of all people are going to talk about fixing relationships, sir. And she's like, yeah, I breached the trust of a good friend. And he's like, well, if I were you, I would say, I'm sorry. I should have told you. You want to practice on me? Say, I'm sorry. Like her, I mean. No, Shep. Yeah. Say, I'm sorry. I should have said something immediately. I'm her now. You're not apologizing to me. No, Shep. Okay, tell her. It'll never happen again. And if you'll have me, I'd like to stay around and be your friend and sleep with you occasionally and never ever try to marry you again. Because now I understand you have mailbox money, not storage unit money. Go ahead. Say that. Say that.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll all work really well, I'm sure. So Taylor's like, I'm watching one of my very good friends go through one of the worst moments of her life, and I don't feel like I can even fully be there because she doesn't want me to be. And I made her this whole big sweater to put on, too, and she can't even wear it. It's so sad. By the way, I just want to say, my hat is off to all the people who are knitting. And my hat is off to all the people who are sewing, because as
everyone... Look at Ben, afraid to get the knitting coalition after him.
No, because I've been on my sewing journey, and I am so bad at it. You know, my last sewing class, I forgot to tell you this, my last sewing class, like, I'm bad at sewing. I'm bad. I'm quite literally bad.
No, I don't believe it. A jacket you made on Instagram, and I thought it was very cute.
I'm a class behind. Everyone's done with theirs. So I... Okay, here's an example of me sewing. I was so excited. I sewed my sleeve onto my jacket. And then I was like, this is strange. Why do I have all this extra fabric here? And the teacher comes over and goes, oh, you sewed your sleeve onto your neck hole. So... I have mad respect even for people who make strange knitted sweaters that look like runny egg yolks, because I'm sewing sleeves onto neck holes.
Because at least they did it, you know? That's so fucking funny.
I'm like, I guess maybe these are jorts now.
Practice makes perfect.
I love a seam ripper. So Shep is like, okay, so what's going on otherwise? Oh, wait, hold on one second. I just got a text. Oh, my God. It's a picture of Penelope nude. It's her out of the sweater.
So he's like, well, I know this much. Seeing you makes me happy. And, you know, we know each other so well. So there's value in that. Don't you think so? And she's like, yeah, blue skies ahead. Yeah. But she looks really bummed about this. I have to say, Taylor has a huge storyline this year for having so little charisma. Have you ever seen those snails? Like right now it's raining and I was just taking out the trash and there was a little snail, but it wasn't moving. And I was like, why isn't the snail out? It's raining. Have you ever seen that? And you just have to like kind of tip the snail a little to see if it's still inside of there. Because a lot of times the snails just shrivel up and die in there, or they just like leave the... They just leave the shell, and you just want to make sure before you kick it off the thing if it's still there. And I did that, and I was like, wow, you're like Olivia. You're like Olivia with a decent sweater on, I have to say.
I don't have the same concern for snails that you do, I think. If I see a snail, I'm not looking to see if it's alive. I so rarely see snails, by the way.
It doesn't rain much over there. That's why.
Yeah.
I'm in Texas and it's been raining for like 3 days. And so the snails are like, party, hey, bitch. It's like the Bravo Con of snails. They're like, hey, I'm Bravo. On backstage.
SnailCon. SnailCon. Yeah. Hey, did you get backstage passes for SnailCon? No. Oh, sorry.
And you're like, I'm never going to see this snail again.
Ew.
You
know?
But it's like, hey, look, may not live long, but I'm going to party hard around here, babe.
Oh, my God. I just got a text message from Taylor Snail. Oh, my God. I thought that was a slug. Exactly. She's not wearing her shell.
By the way, anyone with a backstage pass to BravoCon, give me a call. I would love one. That's me, Ronnie. That would be great. Think of me. DM me. DM me on Instagram. Okay. My last one fell through.
Send so, in the snails.
Now that would be a send in the clown if I got a backstage pass. Send in the clown. I'm here.
Hey, it's a night of 1,000 doorbells. Let's see who's behind door number 34. Another snail.
It's just
squash.
Hey, snail, are those new blooms? Tell me about them.
Squash that beef. Oh, no. Someone actually squashed that snail.
My snail brother's name was Beef Andy, so you just kind of declared war on my brother.
Hey, which snails are gonna break up next? Erica Jane.
Oh yeah, I think Beef is gonna break up with Salami next, Andy.
Erica, I felt as a snail, I was very upset that you called us out. I did not think that you needed to do that.
Well, I'm a show snail, and that's what I do. I put on a show for all the snails. It's called SnailCon, not BoringCon. Now tell me, do you think that your husband snail isn't slimy on the underside? Come in.
Well, I told him to stay away from the Pringles. They will literally kill him. They will melt him into a puddle of goo.
Hey, did I hear my name? it's me, Pringle here. Pringle snail is a... Is there a bar?
Well, you know that as a snail, Pringle, you're supposed to stay away from beer.
Okay, let's go over to Patricia's house. Patricia, wait, you don't want to do any.
You don't want to do any more snail role play at a fictional snail convention?
Literally out of snail stuff.
That went on. That had that. We got a lot of content out of that.
unlike a snail that had legs.
And just like a snail, this recap is going very slowly.
I can't believe we don't get any respect. So weird. Okay, so we go to Patricia's. Whitney has a fire going. He, you know, unfortunately, is not burning any nudes that he was sent.
Or any sweaters.
Yeah. Or any sweaters.
We're having friends. A sweater burning.
So what does he say here? He's like, oh, got a fire going. Yeah, Mom. We're going to get intimate and cozy, Mother. Do the bunga bunga. What does that mean?
I was confused. It was one of those things where I said, I'll just let Ronnie did say you, what it is. I'm like, Ronnie
did
will.
Did you hear it?
I heard him say bunga bunga.
Do the bunga bunga. I'm going to look what it says.
Bunga bunga.
Do the bunga bunga. Bunga bunga is a phrase of uncertain origin and various meanings. It dates from 1910 and a name of an area in Australia dating from 1852.
Oh, I love Silvio. I love a regional Australian reference.
So a bunga bunga party, originally simply a lighthearted term for dating that originated in Australia in the 1800s, it's believed a bunga bunga was first taught to, oh God, I had to open
You know whose birthday is today? Julia. She's Australian.
This is for Berlusconi. His time in power was marked by various scandals, including infamous sex parties held by the politician.
It's going to turn racist soon. I'm telling you this. The more you go into look into bunga bunga, it's going to be you're going to find the racist. It's going to be racists.
It's Southern charm. I wouldn't be surprised. It's believed that a bunga bunga was first taught to Berlusconi by none other than Muammar al-Gaddafi. The term was then adopted by Gaddafi? Italian media.
Yeah. Like from Libya?
No, not with a Q. Well, yeah, G-A-D-D-A-F-I. Over time, the term bunga bunga party was used to refer to parties including orgies, skinny dipping, and strip teases, with the prime minister choosing various women to have sexual relations with. Wow, of course this is what Whitney said. You know, all it takes is a Google. You really need to look a little bit more deeply on these shows.
Are you saying the origins of bunga bunga come from Gaddafi, Libya's Gaddafi?
No, they come from Berlusconi's sex parties, the prime minister of
still
Italy. Is that what
but you said Gaddafi was in there to mix somehow.
He taught them to Gaddafi. So Gaddafi, I think, took them from
Berlusconi. For those who are interested, who carried on the tradition of the bunga bunga party, it did make its way to Libya, for those who are concerned.
So there you go.
It's also Chairman Mao. Chairman Mao and Carla Bruni. So
bunga bunga parties are still had in Russia till to this day.
You know, it would have been funnier if I remembered her name, but I can't, so I will just
Putin and Angela Merkel. Still Merkel. Bunga bunga,
huge bunga bunga advocate. Angela Merkel. Joyce Carol Oates. Wow, you know, if she was, if you ever saw a bunga bunga fan.
Okay.
She's not a world leader, but she's a literary leader, and she bunga bungas like no one else.
Okay. So Craig comes in and he knocks, and I just need to write that down because I'm very concerned with who knocks and who doesn't.
Well, the knocking is actually important in this episode. I mean, the scene, you never would think so. This scene was like a carefully choreographed farce where people are going in and out of doors, but no one's paying attention to the choreography.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So Craig comes in first, and he picks up a cane in the umbrella stand and starts swinging it around like a sword. And he's like, whoa, is this a flask in the cane? This is crazy. Hold on, I'm going to try some. Craig, why are you trying to open a can of tomatoes with that cane? I get it. I'm a lifestyle brand, bro. So,
like Whitney's like, yeah, that has a flask. So Whitney's like showing him how the flask comes out. You take the handle and there's like a little flask, and he's showing them. And while that's happening, Austin just barges in. And so, but they're still standing in the foyer. So the door just like slams open into Whitney and Craig, and Austin goes, ow, oh, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, you're the one who just barged into the house. Quite literally, yeah. You're standing in the way
so
of the door.
So rude. He's so rude. He makes me crazy. Like, last week he came over, or whenever they had that party, and after party thing, and he's like, hey, are you going to order me some dinner? It's like, gosh, you're such a fucking user. So he just swings open the door and goes to, you know, pour the booze for himself. And then, Craig is really pulling the cane out like a sword. And be like, ha! And then Rodrigo comes in, and
he bumps into them also. They all keep getting bumped into by the door
because nobody knocks. It's so fucking rude. So Rodrigo always looks like he's kind of like, what? Like, you just told him something really surprising, or he was home alone and heard the back door open. He's just like, what?
Rodrigo was at home listening to Intuition by Jewel. And then they said, Rodrigo, you need to film an episode. He's like, ugh. Fine. So he just makes his way over to Patricia's.
So they're like, what he says, what are you doing? And Whitney's like, good old fashioned Sword Fight Mother. And Rodrigo goes, classic. Talk about a boys' night. I just love
that Rodrigo.
I was taking it as like a flesh sword comment, but
I just like that Rodrigo seems to hate them all. But he just shows up because they need him for some reason. They're like, we just need Rodrigo here. We just need someone who expresses disdain for these people. So they gather around for some charcuterie. And then Whitney's like, mom always taught me to be a good host. And you should always have hors d'oeuvres, cocktails on hand for when guests first arrive. Mother. So except for Craig. Not for Craig. Remember when he spilled wine? Remember that, mother? Mother. So he puts the charcuterie down on Randy, who's on all fours serving as the table for the men. And Craig's like, am I allowed back in this room again after last year? Remember? It's flashback music. Remember?
Yeah, and Craig, as we find out later in the episode, has really learned about respecting people's property. Not at all. He has not learned at all. So we see the clip to Craig spilling wine on the couch and Patricia going, Craig, do you know how much that couch cost? $45,000, Craig. More than your community college in Delaware. Where is it?
DuPont's more like Upontless. That's a Delaware disc because the DuPonts are in Delaware and you're pointless, Craig. So not my best work, but Randy gave me that one. Randy drafted that one. He said it would work. She never trusted him. Hey, Rand, it looks like your knee's buckling. The charcuterie's going to fall over soon.
Please, ma'am, please. Can I use a table?
You are the table, Randy. Now be quiet.
Now be careful, Randy. Keep your mouth shut or I'm going to sew you to a bunch of different Randys and make a Randy centipede. Nobody wants that at this bunga bunga. Am I right?
Last time I checked, Camilla Parker Bowles did not require a Randy centipede at her bunga bunga.
So Craig's like, wow, the fact that wine came out of the couch is unbelievable. It's almost like it was wearing a Sewing Down South apron or something.
So then we see clips of him being a dummy and then Rod just letting himself in as well. Listen, why am I the only person terrified of Patricia?
Wait, by the way, Rod knocks, I thought, because doesn't he say, oh no, he does let himself in because he says this place is so big, I thought you wouldn't hear me knock.
Yes, that's, I was like, who does that? Why am I the only person terrified of Patricia? Listen, in the South, you don't just walk into someone's home. You'll get shot. We have guns here.
I would be afraid for Chauncey.
You're allowed to use the gun.
Chauncey might attack me. Chauncey's a protective dog. So, you know, I love the name Chauncey. It's like literally one of my favorite names of all time.
It's a good name. Chauncey's a strong name.
I love the name Chauncey. So, JT. Oh, so the one who knocks is JT. Because then he's knocking and no one gets him. He's like, hello? Hello, I got a message from Poppy Seed. She says, woof, love you. Hello, anyone?
Yeah. So let's see. He was raised right. We can say what we want about JT. He's overdramatic. He probably doesn't belong.
I really like JT.
You know, I liked him at first. Right now, he's just a little much. Like when they were showing the clip of him from last week talking to his mom, he's like, I just want a relationship. It's not gonna have buyer's remorse, mommy. Sitting in his weird Airbnb, like sitting up straight and then putting his phone all the way down on the coffee table to sit up straight and do a FaceTime. He's just such an odd practiced person.
Oh, honey, I know you want a relationship. Maybe the first relationship you should have is with a sense of style. Okay, what is this brown leather ottoman doing with a purple couch?
Here's who you need to date, honey, if you ever want to. Chance with a woman. Platform shoes. Listen, Burt Reynolds did it. You know, he still got laid. Make an effort, honey. Okay.
So JT comes over. So he comes in and he's like, well, my first time in the castle. And I'm surprised they didn't crack jokes about how everything seems like a castle because he's small. But he's like, you know, do I think me and Whitney had the same upbringing? I think that his may have been a little bit more posh than mine. Well, he didn't have Poppy Seed and Lady Bunny, that's for sure.
And then Whitney's like, Willkommen. That's German. This is where we hang out and have good times.
Now is the time when you have fun.
Is Winnie going to say one thing that doesn't creep me the fuck out this episode? Just one?
So now they're all like dapping. You know, they're all like, hey, bro hugs. And Austin like wants charcuterie. And Rod is like, ah, I'm like nervous around all this white furniture. And Austin's like, yeah, last year, Craig quite literally spilled all over the couch. And Rod's like, yeah, I want to be invited. I want to have a second season on the show. So I'm going to eat over the table, unlike you pigs.
Just to give a little justice to poor JT, he's not really that much shorter than Rod and Rodrigo because they show them hugging. And yeah, we need to all just stop the short shaming on this show. I don't think it's fair.
Even agree.
Though I just made a short joke, it's because they short shame on this show. That's how I'm going to get away with my hypocrisy on that one.
I agree. I think, though, that JT has short guy energy. But he's our short king, as they say. He's our little short king. No emphasis. Did not mean to say little like that. That did not make it better. I meant to say.
Listen, you've already pissed off the knitting people, so you're fucked. I would be more worried about the knitting people.
I said I support the knitting people. I support the knitting people, and I support.
And hates knitters.
I fully support the knitting people. Rod and Austin are making small talk, known as JT talk. Oh, I can't help myself.
So Austin's like, wow, look at that. Just a couple of guys hanging out of a charcuterie board, right? And then he can't just take a piece of salami. Did you notice how Austin eats a charcuterie board? I don't know why I'm so surprised, but let's pretend this is the piece of salami. He's like,
this is where crap
are you slapping the salami? Why are you turning it over and over and getting your fingerprints all over all of the salami, dude? What the fuck, Austin?
Why was he doing it? Wait, he was just...
He's just a pig.
Was he, like, loosening it up?
Everything. He eats with his mouth open. He's getting his fingers all over everything, just like... Ugh, ugh, ugh. Manhandling the salami.
Disgusting. He's like, so, he's like, Whitney, like, since this is your house, right? It's insane right now. Why don't you have a den? This is for, like, tea and crumpets, bro. And JT's like, yeah, hi, where's your mom tonight? I'd love to meet her. And when he's like, oh, she's out for the evening. She's making brandy, throw water balloons at poor people's houses, and then she's leaving them behind. It'll be hilarious.
And Whitney's like, well, I heard Mother really likes Jack's Tavern. And Rod says, have you been to Bar 167? Huh? Is somebody coming in? Is that the back door? And Whitney's like, no, I haven't been there yet, but I heard it's amazing over there. Oh, really great. And that's where Rod told Austin that he was trying to hit on his girlfriend, so his old girlfriend. So that's pretty funny.
Why'd you feel the need to tell him? It's truly got to have better reasoning for why I felt the need to show Taylor's nude picture to the entire cast. So Rod goes, you know, bro, I just think it's a respect thing. And, you know, it's easier to navigate the waters that way.
Whitney didn't just date Craig's ex last year.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Rod's saying he talked to her, to Olivia. He's talked to her a little bit. He's dropped off food and everything, as opposed to Austin, who both talked and dropped food out of his mouth at the same time. And so Rod says, he says that
he's flinging food. He's like, I passed by her house and I flung food out of my mouth.
Austin is a reverse Hansel and Gretel. Just the crumbs. Don't follow the crumbs. He's a full Hansel and Gretel, actually. He is a proper Hansel and Gretel. He just leaves a trail of crumbs where he goes. It's proper. a proper Hansen G.
But he's too full of saliva to ever burn in the oven, so it never quite works out.
Talk about it.
The witch is always like, I guess I'm going to let this one go.
The witch just keeps on checking the timer. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just in the weeds. Padma's like, 5 minutes, witches.
Austin's like, I'm steaming in here.
Did you crap? So, witch, what happened for you? How was today for you? I felt like your child was a little undercooked. I'm sorry, I tried to cook in Austin in 30 minutes, and they always say it takes 2.5 hours.
Oh my God, I have a tiny little fly flying around my head. That is so gross. Look, here I am calling Austin a slob, and I have a tiny fly. Doesn't that mean I'm like have fruit or something around
fruit flies,
here?
Maybe.
Oh, what could it be?
It's called nature. Oh, it's called life. It's
no,
raining.
No, it's not. It means I'm a filthy human being. I hate those things.
Yeah, they're sort of like, there's fruit flies are so unremarkable as flies go. Like at least house flies are like a full villain, but fruit flies are just there. You can kill them. They just sort of, you know. Well, Ronnie, I just saw.
Well, fruit flies are always brand new, you know, and regular flies are like, I've been around this block, honey. Need any tips? Like they're full grown, but fruit flies are like, oh my God, you just did something dirty. There's something dirty in your house. Can't wait to be here. So excited to be here. So psyched.
I just saw something on TikTok on how you can. There's a device on TikTok on how to kill fruit flies. So go onto TikTok and just look
around.
Well,
it's only one, but if you have one, that means there's something dirty in your house and you're a filthy human being and you need to go fucking find out
what it
was. I
think it's just talking about Southern Charm invokes flies.
Yeah, the disgusting thing is this show, okay? The fruit fly is coming around for the douchebaggery of this show.
Flies?
So JT announces... Yeah. Oh,
you know what? I'm going to just end it right there.
I was trying to segue out of this fly segment. We've already had a snail section, and now we're into flies.
Flies are like,
bunga bunga party at Ronnie Karam's house.
I know. You find one fruit fly and you don't take care of it, it's a full-on orgy bunga bunga by the time you're done. Little fly Putin is out here getting anal fly by the time you're done.
So, anyway, JT says that he is postponing the launch party of his clubhouse. It was, you know, his Airbnb clubhouse thing. He's going to have a big party. But because of everything, he's decided to make it a nice dinner instead. And he says, he's like, I'm not sure how to have a launch party for a business where everyone's in mourning. So we pivoted to dinner just to bring everyone together for Olivia. I'm like, I'll tell you how I have a launch party while everyone's in mourning. Be on Bravo. They'll force you to do it. So don't even worry about it.
Yeah. So the dress code is like preppy Southern. So we go over to Craig and Austin pouring drinks. They've walked away. What are you laughing at?
It's just funny. It's like, what's the preppy Southern? It's like, the dress code is seasons one through this very second.
I don't know. How is this more specific than how you're all dressed right now?
Austin tells Craig that he did therapy today. And the Olivia stuff brought up a lot of memories with his sister and everything. And Austin says he feels super connected to Olivia. And I quite literally just want to be there for her. I'm not making fun of this serious moment. I just want to point out this is a moment where he did say quite literally, quite literally.
Quite literally. So then we go to Madison and Brett. And Madison's like,
Brett, I'm making a snack. Hummus, which I'm cooking myself, basically. It's really hard. But, you know, that's why they call me Chef Stewart.
Now, please enjoy this hummus. I made it with corn. And more corn. I just put it in a blender. That's hummus, right? That's hummus.
I blended some corn in a blender, and we're going to dip some corn on the cob into it and eat it.
Brett is he's a nascent Ken Todd because he's like, oh yeah, thanks for the hummus. How's your parents? How was it good with your parents being here? I'm like, hello, what? Brett, can you speak up a little bit? I can't hear you.
Fucking Brett. Brett's like, I haven't tried the radish yet. She goes, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's a fucking raw radish. Okay. What do you mean you haven't tried it yet? Do you think this is going to be better or worse than any other raw radish you've ever had? I wrote in my notes, who's more charismatic, Brett or the radish?
So Madison talking about how Brett travels for work, and people are like, how do you deal with a long distance marriage? And she's like, I don't know. How do you deal with your husband traveling for 4 fucking days? Go work.
It's it is like it is. We make it work like everyone else does by shaming everyone around us. Betas.
So then Hudson comes in sobbing, and he has been attacked. I mean, yeah, what the hell
beat up or something?
Hudson?
I was so fucking mad.
Rabid kids in this neighborhood.
He was like,
my God.
He got into some sort of fight. His knees are bloodied and dirty. He has bite marks on him. A parent, I guess, pulled some other kid off. Whoever this fucking rabid kid is that bit and beat up our sweet little Hudson, military camp right away.
Multiple bites? Multiple military bites? Military school. Throw that kid over the bridge. That's what okay. I say. Fuck that kid.
Do not do this to our sweet Hudson, this poor little kid who's already had to endure Austin in his life. Okay? That's not right. My heart was broken for this poor little boy and for Madison, too. Like, I was like, this is so sad right now.
And Madison's like, who did this to you? I'm going to go buy him back. Who the fuck did this to my baby? And he's like, oh, it's okay. And so Brett takes him to clean him up. And Madison's like, you know, being a mother is one of the hardest but rewarding things I've ever done in my life. And sometimes what he feels, I feel times 100. You know, thankfully, he doesn't feel what I feel and doesn't get triggered and start beating walls whenever somebody accidentally spits something in his face, because I had to deal with that for a very long time and I'm still traumatized. But what's I talking about?
She goes, you know, being a parent, it's the only thing that can make me lose control over my emotions. I was like, you want to double check that? That's the only thing? Let's just fact check that.
Have you seen this show? Can we just fast forward 5 minutes in the show, please? That would be great.
So Brett goes to talk to him. They clean him up and everything. And, you know, Madison's like fully upset. Like, my heart breaks for parents who have to be in this situation and see their kids come back like beaten up or bullied. It's like, it's so fucked up. And, like, it's a weird trigger point for me. I wasn't even bullied that badly, but for some reason, I just feel it really hard. So Madison's basically saying how, like, Brett, it's a real game changer. It's like nice to have Brett there. It's not just her. It's not all on her shoulders. And they make Hudson a Shirley Temple. And
she just walks away with her phone. Just, I'm the queen of hair in this town, bitch. You're going to die split ends.
You know she called someone. You know she called.
You know she did.
You know she yelled.
She's on that phone and she's waiting to dial the phone. And she just kind of looks at the camera like, I better wait. But you know she called like, you will never get a hair spot in this town again, you stupid bitch.
I want to know what Madison did, because you know there was it was a scorch the earth moment, at deservedly so.
Yes. They like, deserve whatever. Yes. They get that family.
So Rod and Olivia now meet up on by the beach, and Olivia's like, every time I see you, you're standing by on some beautiful backdrop. It's just like him, like, on a pier. So they go to a place called Windjammer, which I feel like there's some joke in there about Austin, right? Windjammer?
I don't know. I can't do that. I'm tired. So, no, I'm not really tired. Just of Austin. Just of thinking about Austin. Jamming into things. You know? I don't want to think of anything with jam and Austin in the same sentence. Okay. I'm still traumatized by his salami eating 2 seconds ago.
Salami
jam. Don't try to bait me into a Windjammer thing. So, she's with Rod. The chemistry is off the charts with these two. And they basically talk about what a dick Austin is.
Yes.
And she's like, well, Austin really stepped up, as y'all did, honestly. And I don't know if you've been leaped in on what's going on with Taylor and Austin, but... And he's like, yeah, I hear the goalposts keep moving as far as the story goes. And she's like, yeah, you know, and
you're on a date, Rod. Could you, like, refrain from corporate lingo for a second? He's like, yeah, we're really moving the goalposts, and we're just trying to get like a good Q4 romantic moment for the two of us right now. So yeah, notice that.
Waiter, we'd like to share a pie chart. That would be great if you can get that over to us. Your best slice. Your best.
As per
preferably about 30%.
As per my earlier email, I totally agree what's going on with Austin and Taylor.
So she's basically saying, yeah, you know, people are saying, like, why are you forgiving Austin and not, like, why are you more mad at Taylor than Austin? But I just expected this from him. I didn't really expect this from Taylor. I mean, she knits her own sweaters.
The cut's not as deep. I hate this logic. And I understand this logic because I think we probably all fall for it. But this is fucked up logic. This is how terrible people advance in the world. And, like, when I'm not saying that Taylor is necessarily an angel, but I'm just saying, like, compared to Austin, whatever you think about Taylor, Austin's always going to be worse. But, like, this is how someone like Austin gets off the hook and moves forward in life, and how someone who's comparatively a better person makes a mistake, and then they are, they're, they're fucked over forever. Like, you know, like this is like, yes, I know it surprised you more from Taylor, but now you have to say, okay, but Austin is still the worst person here in this situation. Like, mend things with Taylor, create a new normal with Taylor, but don't let Austin off the hook. Like, I just hate this, that Austin gets off the hook first before Taylor. And I understand it's because Taylor broke
the whole, like, he's already a douchebag. And so she's kind of forgiven him already for things from longer ago. But I think it's mostly the sibling connection where they both have a sibling that's passed away. And he's I don't know. I think it all transcends all that stuff. You know,
no, I think that that accelerated it for Austin. And I get that the betrayal from Taylor is a different kind of betrayal. And like, I fully get the logic. I understand it. I've probably participated in this logic before, but I'm just saying this logic is really ultimately fucked up, and that like it allows terrible people to move on in life and to excel.
Yeah, well, this so does the South. So also that the logic is going to come up again, because we get some level logic later, which is really disturbing, which I think is very similar to what you're talking about. But we'll get to that in 5 hours when we near the end of this episode.
Never logic.
But these two, you know, I think it's nice that Rod is so sweet to her and stuff. And she seems to think that he's really sweet too. At first I thought maybe they have chemistry. I don't think so anymore. And I know it's not like the sexiest time in life, right? But I don't know. It's giving me kind of like trying for a TV relationship or whatever. So
I do like them, but I think it's really because he's not Austin, and he seems actually bright. He actually seems like a bright person. But he is definitely the person in the rom-com who the girl leaves. Let's be honest. So yeah, the goalposts are moving, all that stuff, and they're talking about all this stuff. And ultimately Rod says the thing that will, for right now, probably endear him for the rest of the season to me, which is that he says Austin's decision making is all about him, and he's always the victim in his eyes, and he's always the cause of the problem every time. I'm like, well, guess what, you're now my favorite person on this cast. you just summed it up cleanly, succinctly. That's exactly right, and you see it for exactly for what it is. There's no arguments to be had with this.
Yeah, you are correct, sir. Listen, you may not have chemistry, but that doesn't make you a bad person. But you are correct on this, and that makes you a person on our team. So welcome over.
Welcome over, Rod.
Hope you like snail jokes. So
worm fruit flies, alternatively. We're big tent.
Then we go over to JT's event space. They are trying so hard to make this fucking event space happen. I'm annoyed with the event space, especially knowing that it's covered in germs, because I feel like nobody ever blue lit this place after all these times we're hearing about.
This place is a garage. Has everyone noticed that they're actually in a garage that's been revamped? Like, this is a garage, like an old timey garage where a horse and carriage go into, and then there's this place for a bale of hay. This is not an event space. This is a garage with a table in it.
Well, if you keep saying event space enough, it's going to become an event space, damn it. So
meanwhile, we're going to do a show. We're going to do a show in Charleston and totally have an after party in this event
space. We're not above it. We are not above it. Totally, we will be there.
Garage party.
I will take a picture on the ugly couch. Okay. So he's like, I'm going to slide a cooler under the table, barkeep. I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. Hey, barkeep, look, we've got a violin player over here. It's like a mariachi band with swagger.
Sir.
Who says that? Why do you have to diss fucking mariachi bands? And let me tell you, you have some fucking swag. Mariachi bands. You think anyone gets laid more than the dudes in the mariachi band? Okay,
I know.
You're going to the wrong El Compuesto, bitch.
Mariachi bands are the swag. Like, you, those beautiful outfits, the hats, the blazers and everything, and you're telling me that's not swag compared to someone over there doing a Chopin on violin? That's the swag? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm like mad.
I meant El Compadre. What did I say?
I don't know, because I don't speak Spanish. But what I do know is that, like,
El Compadre is that restaurant on Sunset.
It is. But also, by the way,
the mariachis. Like,
someone playing a violin and saying, like, oh, it's like a mariachi band with swag. What? Like, why is that your go-to reference for violin? I don't know. Nothing made sense. But, you know, he's just trying. JT's just trying. So
He really is. I also felt for the violinist. That's like a tall order to just be like, okay, you're one person with a violin.
How dare you say that in a JT 3 hours. Scene? How dare you say it's a tall order in a JT scene? I thought we weren't making these jokes anymore. No, I know. It's like play violin for 3 hours for a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. And he's over there trying his hardest too, you know? It's just like song after song of just da, da, da.
Okay, everyone. That is the end of part one of this recap. Part two is coming up very soon in our feed. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this. We appreciate you all. We will catch you on part two of our Southern Charm recap. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.